In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Throughout the week when reading our gospel for today, I kept coming back to the very beginning of it, to Peter's question. One thing I try to do when reading scripture is to see the scene playing out in my mind's eye. This is a practice that the Jesuits endorse, and I find it an effective way to engage more fully with scripture. What you do is you close your eyes and imagine what you have just read playing out. You pay attention to the little details and see what stands out. Is there something in the environment, a sound or a smell that jumps out, a look on someone's face, a particular word uttered that sets the whole thing alight? What do you see happening as the reading ends, but the scene continues on? For me, with this reading, I kept coming back to Peter's question to Jesus of how often should he forgive. I kept focusing on the way his voice sounded when he asked this question. In my mind, Peter's voice vacillated between two ways of asking the question. The first sounded like, if someone sins against me, how often should I forgive? 7 times? This first way is a kind of offhand way of asking the question, trying to slip the question into Jesus in such a way that maybe it would go unnoticed or unanswered. The other way I imagined him asking this question went something like this. If someone sins against me, how often should I forgive them? 7 times? This way is more emphatic. To my ear, Peter is trying to ask the question in such a way that he gets the answer he wants. His tone is also saying, surely no more than 7. 7 is probably too much to begin with, right? I see Peter as maybe not wanting to ask this question and not wanting to get an answer to it. If he does have to ask it and he does have to receive an answer, he already knows what he wants to hear. As one of the smartest people I know once said to me, this forgiveness stuff is hard. I think Peter knows how hard it is, and that is why I hear him asking the question in this way. Jesus, in response, gives a very straightforward and easy to understand parable. This is one of those times when everything is right on the surface of the story. Sometimes we have to pry the story open because of historical, cultural, and sociological details we might not readily understand. We have to pry those things up a bit so that we can see down deeper into the story and to its meaning. I don't think we need to do that with this lesson. We have 3 characters. A wealthy man, a servant of that wealthy man, and a second servant. The first is indebted to the master for a great sum, and the second indebted to the first for a much smaller one. Clear lines of relationship and debt between them all. The debt of the first man puts everything at risk. Everything he has and holds dear is put into jeopardy because of what he owes. And he has no hope of paying it back. The only hope he has is to delay and buy for time. His master gives him more than he asked for and more than he probably thought was possible. He is not put on a payment plan. He is not given more time. His debts are forgiven. They are wiped away. In an instant, they are gone. Everything he loves, the life he has built, his family, are made safe once again. And what change in him does this cause? This clemency, this mercy he has been shown. Does he change his ways? Does he share what he has received with others? Almost immediately, he sets upon the other servant who owes him money. Grabbing by the throat, he threatens and demands payment for a debt that is far smaller than the one he has just been forgiven. This forgiveness stuff is hard. To truly ask for it and to truly receive it, we must understand what we are being given. That we are not just being let off the hook, not being pushed off to a later date, not just being tolerated, not just being forgotten about. to understand the nature of forgiveness, I want to share with you a quote from John Chrysostom. He was an early church father, a bishop, who served, wrote, and preached in the 5th century. He had this to say when reflecting on our gospel reading from Matthew. What then are God's good deeds? He created us from nothing. He made the whole visible world for us, the heaven, the sea, the earth, animals, plants, and seeds. I must be brief because of the infinite numbers of his works. Into us alone of all that is on earth, he breathed a living soul. He planted a garden for us. He gave us a helpmate and set us over all the brute species. And he crowned us with glory and honor. And yet, after all this, when humanity turned out ungrateful towards its benefactor, he thought us worthy of an even greater gift: forgiveness. God gave us this world as a gift. He breathed life into our souls. We disobeyed the order of this world. We rebelled against the gift of our lives. We sinned against the love that created our souls. But God does not turn away from us. He gives us another gift, the gift of forgiveness. He gives us the gift of salvation, given as a son, given as a sacrifice of a life, given as the triumph of love and everlasting life. Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? No, you should forgive him 77 times. Lord, I have forgiven my sister 77 times. How many more times should I forgive her? You should forgive her 707 times. Lord, I have forgiven my neighbors 707 times. How many more times should I forgive them? You should forgive them as I have forgiven you. Eternally forgiven, eternally loved, shown mercy so you might know salvation, given the gift of a new and everlasting life, a gift from your heavenly Father, whose peace and love surpasses all understanding. This is how you are to forgive your neighbor. This forgiveness stuff is hard, but the alternative is harder: to live separated from God, a life devoid of the knowledge of just what it is that we have received. By accepting and passing on forgiveness, we bear witness to the scandalous truth that, yes, everybody is a sinner and everybody is forgiven by God. We have all been forgiven, and we are all called to forgive, to bear witness to how God's love and God's mercy takes a broken soul and heals it, takes a separated life and draws it close once again. In a time when we set upon our neighbors with threats and demands, what could this world of ours need more? The knowledge of God's forgiveness of us all, and a people living joyfully into that truth. Amen.